Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies, Nature Folk, and others. In tonight's encore from April 28, 2012, and what was, at the time, the first episode of the Circle Craft Study podcast, Selena discussed ways of exploring and working with the Circle Craft tradition of nature spirituality, a synthesis of old and new pagan practices, Wiccan ways, multicultural shamanism, and nature mysticism.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is a new show, and this is Selena Fox. And I am looking forward to connecting with you all tonight, as well as trying out this new form of teaching. Tonight's topic is going to be an overview of the Circle Craft tradition. We're going to look at Circle Craft as a pagan spiritual path. How did this show come to be? Over the years, a number of people have asked me to find some way to do classes at a distance. We're still waiting to get true broadband out here in the Forested Hills, the southwestern Wisconsin in the USA. And rather than wait any longer, this opportunity came to be able to try out doing some classes on the air through this show. And I want to thank Tracy and Ed of Pagan Tonight Radio Network for their support with this. I also want to thank my co-host of Pagan Warrior Radio, Pamela Kelly, and the new co-host, David and Jeanette Ewing, for their support of this endeavor. Pam had some changes in her schedule, which necessitated us to get a day change for Pagan Warrior Radio, and it's now being moved to Saturday night, and the time will be 8 to 9 p.m. Central. That's the new time on Saturday night. So we hope you all who have been used to tuning in on Tuesday nights for Pagan Warrior Radio will tune in on Saturday night and also continue to be part of this time slot as well. Well, each night I'm going to be beginning with some form of blessing, then focus on the topic at hand, and then we're going to move into the community discussion portion of our hour-long class. This means that you can share some questions via call-in, or you can pose some questions in the chat room. While I am not internet connected in such a way I can see the things in the chat room, Dave and Jeanette are going to be taking a look at that and relaying those messages. So let's begin with a blessing that is from the Circle Craft tradition. One to not only bless us tonight, but to bless the show. Imagine yourself in a sacred circle, in a sacred sphere. And I invite you to join in with welcoming the divine powers as I call them with each of the directions. Divine powers of North and Earth, We call to you and honor you. Guide us and bless us and this show. Divine powers of the East and air, we call to you and honor you. Guide us and bless us and this show. Divine powers of South and fire, we call to you and honor you. Guide us and bless us and this show. Divine powers of West and water, we call to you and honor you. Guide us and bless us and this show. Divine powers of above and cosmos, we call to you and honor you. Guide us and bless us and this show. Divine powers of below and planet, we call to you and honor you. Guide us and bless us and this show. Divine powers of center and spirit, we call to you and honor you. Guide us and bless us and this show. Divine powers of within and soul, we call to you and honor you. Guide us and bless us and this show. And divine powers of around and community, we call to you and honor you. Guide us and bless us and this show. We honor the sacred circle. We honor the sacred sphere. We honor the divine as one and many. We honor our time together here. So mote it be. Well, let's take a look at circle craft. What is it? Where did it come from? Well, I am one of the prime movers of the circle craft tradition. It has its origins back in 1971. And over the years, not only has it evolved from my own practices and my work in facilitating groups, but it has evolved as others have adopted it as their path to spirituality. The circle craft tradition is a form of pagan spirituality that blends together both old and new forms of pagan folkways. It also blends together shamanic forms of Wiccan and pagan spirituality, as well as cross-cultural shamanism, and also synthesized into the mix are aspects of humanistic and transpersonal psychology. This path emerged out of the studies, spiritual practices, and experiences, not only of myself, others at Circle Sanctuary, but those of other organizations and places. When it started emerging back in 1971, its primary influences at that time were ancient Greek and Roman pagan religions, which you might call the classical pagan religions. But it also early on included American adaptations of European folkways, in particular those imported from Germany and Scotland, and a few years later, Latvia and the Baltic area. Also hardwired into the core of circle craft are American folk magic practices from the Appalachian and Ozark Mountain regions. Now, during the 1970s, as it started taking form, It was originally known as Circle Wicca. That was the name that I gave for this particular path of the craft. Then during the 1980s and the 1990s, I changed its name to Wiccan Shamanism because it was really clear to me as I made contact with other people involved in Wiccan practice that this form of craft really had a lot more to do with shamanic hedge witchery than British traditional craft, Gardnerian craft, Alexandrian craft. There were some things we had in common, but there were elements of circle craft that were quite different. Then at the beginning of the 21st century, the name changed again. I thought it was important to give it a name that would distinguish it from all the various paths now that have emerged of different types of shamanistic Wicca and paganism. So it got the name Circle Craft, and that's what it's continuing to have to this day. The main focus of Circle Craft is to connect with the divine through communing with and in nature and developing and sustaining spiritual relationships with the divine, both as an interconnecting unity or great spirit, as well as with the divine in a variety of sacred forms. Now, these different sacred forms include gods and goddesses, ancestors, the five elements of nature, various types of nature spirits, and other sacred forces. Circle craft is animistic, which is the basic underpinning of shamanism. And those of us who practice develop sacred alignments, not only with deities, but with spirits of particular plants, creatures, and places. The worldview is panentheistic, and for those of you who haven't delved into all the ins and outs of various worldviews and religious studies, panentheism is actually combining both the view that the divine is something beyond humans or transcendent, but also indwelling or immanent. Some of the things that the circle craft tradition has in common with other Wiccan paths include celebrating the eight Sabbats, the symbol, the pentacle, as being a primary faith emblem, many of the ceremonial tools that Wiccan groups use and Wiccan individuals use, we also use in the circle craft tradition. Some of our directional correspondences are identical or similar to some paths of the Wiccan religion. And the idea of celebrating not only the cycles of sun and seasons, but cycles of the moon, we have those in common as well as working in circles. The circle craft tradition also has some things in common with some of the forms of Druid paths. Certainly some of the lore that is rooted in ancient Celtic cultures. The importance of the bardic way, storytelling, singing, transmitting lore and wisdom through word of mouth, through the written word, the spoken word, through poetry, story, through narrative. The importance of honoring and connecting with trees in a sacred way. And of course, honoring circles of stones and other sacred places for spiritual work that Druids of many paths have. And in addition to stone circles, sacred wells, sacred springs, caves, high places, sacred groves, all important in circle craft as well as in many Druid paths. The circle craft tradition also has some things in common with heathen ways, in particular, the importance of honoring ancestors, those who have gone before, and transmitting ancestral heritage. Our work with ancestors, in addition to working with those that we're related to by blood and by adoption or family ties, includes honoring ancestors that are cultural ancestors and honoring ancestors that are spiritual ancestors from different traditions that are part of our mix. And I mentioned before our connection with shamanism, and certainly some of the practices of circle craft have much in common with shamanic traditions across cultures and faith traditions. The idea of multiple worlds, the middle world, the here and now, the upper world, the lower world, the idea of journeying, the importance of being able to move in and out of different states of consciousness to journey between worlds for healing, knowledge, not only for self, but for others. The use of rattles, drums, and other percussion instruments that are widespread practices across different shamanic traditions are also widespread within the circle craft tradition. And we have a lot in common with many forms of spirituality that emphasize direct experience with nature. So the whole realm of eco-spirituality. A ritual can be a walk in the woods or sitting by a lake under a full moon. The idea of nature communion, nature walks, nature reverence, all are important parts of the circle craft tradition. So what are some things that we do that may be similar or different than some other forms of paganism? Well, different forms of paganism have a variety of ways of relating to the divine. And in the circle craft tradition, there is an emphasis on the divine as one, the all that is, the great mystery, divine unity, but also divine multiplicity. And each practitioner connects with that divine oneness and that divine multiplicity in a way that it is revealed and continues to work for that individual. And in group settings, groups have their particular forms of the sacred that are called. In some traditions, all of the sacred forms come from a particular culture or nation, sometimes in a particular point in time. But within the circle craft tradition, it is possible to synthesize a pantheon that has roots in different parts of the world. Not only myself, but other practitioners of the circle craft tradition that have multiracial, multicultural, multi-ethnic heritage can find a way of being able to honor all one's ancestors in a single ritual without losing the importance of the individual ancestral strands, but without it being so generalized that there's no depth. So that's an important piece. And when we celebrate the solstices, the equinoxes, and the cross quarter days, we start our wheel of the year at Samhain, move to Yule, Imbolc, spring equinox, or Ostara, go to Beltane, summer solstice, Lunasa, which we call Green Spirit, and fall equinox, and back the wheel again to Samhain. So we begin our year at Samhain. Some pagan traditions start with Yule, some start with spring equinox, and some at other times. Our view of the moons, waxing moon, full moon, waning moon, dark moon, four phases of the moon, and especially important are the new or dark moon and the full moon. And rather than seeing those points as a single day and night, there's actually an orb around them. Same with the Sabbaths. In addition to celebrating on the day that may be in most pagan calendars, we actually see seasonal celebrations, celebrations of the sun, as a time period and a transition period. In addition to celebrating the cycles of sun and moon, we also celebrate the cycles of life and see those three circles are all part of nature's rhythms. Now, is circle craft initiatory or not? It's both. And actually, there are at least five different ways that one can connect with the circle craft tradition. One is the exploration and education phase. And this class series is making that an option, connecting with someone who practices and learning from them and getting information. Another way of connection is what you might call enhancement phase, that you take some of these learnings and you weave them into the particular practices that you already have. A third way to connect is to actually consider yourself a circle craft practitioner and to start adopting rituals, symbol structures, and other traditions. One wanting to go deeper can go to another level, which is that of dedication. Self-dedication, and if one is able to do so, community dedication, where you take part in a ritual with other circle craft practitioners who are supporting you in you deepening your connection with this particular path. There also is an initiation option. This typically takes the form of having gone through these other levels and then preparing to do an all-night vigil in a natural place by oneself with the rest of nature, but with a mentor or guide that checks in with you before and after you've done your vigil. And the importance of this is to be able to connect with some of the forces of nature and to deepen your resonance with this, with your spiritual teachers, sacred plants, sacred animals, sacred sites, gods and goddesses, ancestors, and other spiritual forces. So the vigil is an initiatory experience, and as part of that process, it can also include a actual initiation with a practitioner, such as myself. So that gives a bit about some of the ways to connect. And now I'll end by saying that there are some basic codes of conduct and practice. They're simple. Harm none. Be of service. Live in balance. These are guiding principles, and we seek to have them as ideals to inform our practice. Of course, there's nuances in interpretation and implementation. There's many things that we do that reflect our own personal style and inclinations. For example, when we have circle craft group rituals, you will notice that people who are taking part may be dressed in elaborate ceremonial outfits or ancestral folk dress or regular street clothes. So you'll have some diversity of dress. We tend to have some color themes for each of the eight Sabbats. At Samhain, it's typically black, orange, and indigo, Yule, red, green, white, gold, Imbolc, white, and sometimes also red. Spring equinox, a lot of pastels, greens, yellows, lavender. And Beltane, the most colorful of the holidays, bright green, bright blue, and just multicolors of the rainbow. Summer solstice, green, gold, and yellow. Lunasa, green, gold, and brown, the colors of nature as it moves into the first of the harvest season. And then at fall equinox, yellow, brown, orange, red, and purple, colors that you will see in nature. Often we have our celebrations outdoors in sacred sites, other natural places. We may wear garlands on our head as part of our seasonal celebrations. And we seek to connect not only with the sacred rhythms of nature, but with each other when we're in a group setting. And when we're not meeting face-to-face, if we're connecting such as through a class via the internet or a conference call on the telephone, we typically will envision ourselves as all being part of a circle so that we have a central focus that links us. Well, what I'd like to do now is begin the process of conversation, community discussion. If you would like to call in with questions or comments, the number is 347-308-8222. And Tracy, who is engineering our show tonight, will help with the calls. And I want to thank you, Tracy, for helping me with the launch of this show.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
And those of you who are in the chat room, if you have comments or questions, Dave and or Jeanette will relay those. So do we have any callers or comments at this point?
Well, there are a lot of comments currently.
Mm-hmm.
I had asked people to kind of voice what similarities they felt they shared, either with their tradition or with their own beliefs, to some of the things that you were saying.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were feeling very connected when you were talking about shamanism. A lot of people in the chat room feel very connected to, they liked the colors that you talked about. And as far as questions, I have to kind of scan a little bit, but one of the questions was, somebody asked if the all-night vigil included a time of fasting.
Typically, it does. Some water can be taken, but part of it depends on the person and their medical condition. Obviously, someone who's diabetic would have to modify the fast. The idea of having a time where one really focuses on shifting out of the day-to-day reality. Fasting can help that process. But the idea of intense ordeal is not so central. It's more a focus of aiding in the trance work and the nature communion that happens during the vigil. I've had people who are pregnant do a vigil, and here again, you're eating for one in the making as well as yourself. So we've modified the fast so that some food could be taken at intervals during the night to just help sustain the body in that condition. We've had CircleCraft vigils out at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. We're located near Barneveld, Wisconsin, in southwestern Wisconsin in the USA, up in the Great Lakes area, for those of you who are tuning in from other places. And we have a number of sacred sites, some which have been developed since we've begun caring for the land, and some actually that date back generations, including Spirit Rock, which is a vision quest place used by ancient native peoples.
Hey, what about Wicked Pagan Books? That's up at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, so do we have other questions or comments?
There are some other questions. Someone else asks, do you also have some foods relating to Sabbats?
Yes, I would say that certain festivals have some standard sacred foods. At Samhain, apples are really important, and some people will also work with pomegranates. At Yule, wassail, a traditional beverage that has some of its roots in Saxon heathenism. And I do a wassail every year. Now, there's the kind that are that can be drunk by people of all ages, and that's the kind I prepare. But there's certainly some people will add some alcohol to their wassail as part of their Yule celebrations. In terms of other foods, part of what may be associated with a celebration depends on some of the ancestral traditions of people taking part in a community celebration. One of our community members, longtime community members and a naturalist, Reed, is part Swedish, and so he brings the Lucy cakes for our Yule celebration, which are these saffron buns that are just really, really delicious. And we find that at our Lugnasa or our Green Spirit Festival, we have the sharing of not only grains, and for those who have gluten issues, we use corn, popcorn, in addition to wheat bread, so we have multiple things available. But our festival also includes a harvest of herbs, because we actually at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve have more wildcrafting of various types of herbs going on than doing an agricultural, let's bring in the grain harvest. So those are some of the foods that we have worked with. We have pressed apples and made apple cider at our fall equinox gatherings every year. And that's, we save up for the next few Sabbats where we use it at our Samhain, and we also use it at Yule. And of course at Ostara, we've got eggs of various shapes and sizes. And most of them are chicken eggs, and they are in a way that we have egg dishes and we'll have hard-boiled eggs and we do egg games and whatever, but that's very much part of our celebration of spring.
That's what we do for Astara. We color eggs. We like to do that. So are you ready for more questions?
Sure.
They're typing them in faster than I can get it done. So please be patient in the chat room. I'm trying to get to as many questions as possible. So someone else asks, where you prefer to practice being shamanistic? Do you prefer more natural environments?
Most people who are practicing circle craft will have as part of their practice being in a natural environment. However, the practice is such that it can be done in any location. For my own self, I live in a forest that adjoins Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, and I have some rituals that I do indoors. And most of them, though, I'm outside. There's some real value in being able to establish a relationship with at least one special place outdoors. And even if one may not be able to physically go to that place for each ritual, if one has developed a particular connection or what I call an alignment, and I'll be talking more about that later in the series about sacred alignments in the Pantheon show, the Pantheon Journeys show, which will be the fourth one in the series. Once you've established that connection with a sacred place, then in an indoor environment, you can project yourself to that place as a way of doing your practice. That's a good question.
It is. So someone else asks, where can we find someone locally to connect with if we wanted to pursue this path on an educational level?
Well, part of the reason for doing this show in this way is to expand the network of people that have interest in connecting with Circle Craft in some way. And as I said before, one may be approaching it from exploration, education, and just be checking it out as part of a quest for knowledge. But some may want to have a deeper connection and actually identify with the path. So one of the things that I'm hoping can emerge from this is the ability for people to network with each other and make contacts. I'm doing some of that kind of networking through my main Facebook page, the public one that doesn't have any number limits on how many people can interact there. So that could be a place where some people may want to connect. Circle Sanctuary puts out the Circle Guide to Pagan Groups and Resources. And while there's a wide variety of pagan groups and traditions that are represented in the guide, that would be another source of how one may want to find some people in one's area.
Very good.
Lots of good questions.
I have those. I think they're awesome. I love the Circle's Guide to Groups. Let's see. I'm still looking for questions. but David's been awful quiet. I turned his mic on so he could chime in, too.
Yeah, we're here. Jeanette and I.
Great.
Hi. We're trying to keep up with all the typing that's going on.
Chat. And I'll tell you this. I got to commend everybody. We've been doing the Pagan Warrior Radio now for a few months, and this is a bit of a challenge tonight. The chat's a lot busier than the Warrior Radio show usually is. So this has been pretty interesting here. There's a lot of good questions, a lot of good comments and feedback and stuff from folks. We just got a question about whether it be a class on Circle Craft at PSG, Selena.
I am planning on doing that. In fact, I think those that are interested in doing some type of community dedication will have an opportunity for that to happen this year, if there's interest. This is the first time that I've actually attempted to do teaching via internet radio. I've done classes over the years. I started teaching back in the 1970s, and I have been on internet radio shows before in terms of being interviewed about various topics, but to actually have a class series and make this information available for free over the internet to people all over the place. This is the first time I've tried that out, and it's actually because Pam, who does Pagan Warrior Radio with me and now with the Ewings, because of a schedule change for her, this time period here became available, and I had a sense that why not try this out? So I want to give thanks to everybody who's in the chat room, who's listening now, and through the wonders of technology, are listening later and tuning in.
Cool, great. And, of course, we've got a lot of folks asking if you're going to be visiting their state. Are you going to come to Dallas? Are you going to come to Michigan next time? You know, when are you coming to Michigan next?
When are you coming to New York?
To New York. You know, when are you going to come to
I do get around. In fact, on my list of things to do is to pull together my upcoming speaking appearances list. I will be in Michigan again this month. At the end of the month, I'm going to be at the Mid-Michigan Body and Soul Festival in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. I am speaking on Wiccan rites at Central Michigan University and also in at least one of the classes there in the religious studies department. I'm going to be at a metaphysical shop and all that, so later this month. I'm also going to be speaking at the Heartland Pagan Festival in May, Kansas City area. And, of course, I'll be at Pagan Spirit Gathering in June in northern Illinois. And I'm going to Canada in September for the 10th anniversary of the Hamilton Pagan Pride Day, which is near Toronto in Ontario, Canada. So those are just some of the places. And, of course, I'm at most of the Circle Sabbath festivals and generally doing a Circle Craft workshop as part of that. I do full moons out at Circle Sanctuary every month and also have started doing some teaching at our Sanctuary Days, the second Saturday of every month. But most of the people I've encountered who really want to learn aren't within an easy commute, hence this radio program format.
Oh, someone just asked a question. Can these classes be don't go away. Can these classes be used as a segue to a dedication at Circle Sanctuary?
Yes. Yes. And
we have a caller.
Oh, great.
We have a caller named Marcy who says she would like to thank you for something.
Hi, Marcy.
Hey, Selena. How was your trip home?
It was good.
Good. I'd just like to publicly on the air thank you for blessing my new staff at Convocation.
It was great to connect with you.
Yeah, it's always great to have you around. We also did your Memorial Day festival at Pagan Fest a couple of years ago to honor the soldiers and things along that line. And I also owe you an extra hug the next time I see you because I'm happy that Randy finally got his Warrior Medal.
Wasn't that great?
That was awesome. He was in tears. He loves you to pieces just like I do.
Well, thank you so much for calling in and for your support, and I am really glad we got to see each other again.
Until another time, lady. Hopefully where we can have our shoes off and not freeze.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I actually was outside barefoot today. It was 65 degrees at one moment in the afternoon, and I took a break and went outside and fed the birds and got to experience a bit of spring in the depths of the Wisconsin winter time.
That's very good. It was very nice in Chicago today as well, too.
Spring is a-coming in, so that's a wonderful thing.
It got warmer in Wisconsin than it did in Virginia today.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it's we're living in unusual times in many ways, and I do think one of the benefits of having a practice that deepens your connection with nature is even if the weather tends to be unusual, if you're resonating sufficiently, you can adapt yourself so that it works better. And that's certainly something that I see as an important part of the practice. And I know in some traditions there's a real emphasis on weather working. Well, certainly one can commune with weather and work in sacred ways with weather forces. But I think as important with weather work is to be sufficiently in tune with it that if there is something intense coming, that you pick up on it really quick and be able to do what is necessary to keep yourself and your loved ones safe. And certainly sending some healing prayers out to those who are dealing with the aftermath of the severe weather that went across the United States in recent times. And I do think that nature can be a great teacher. At times we have the beauty of nature, which is fun and uplifts our spirit, but there's also the more intense sides of nature, which can be a teacher as well. And it is my hope that regardless of what one's path, and whether they're pagan or connected with some other belief system, that we increasingly find ways of being able to be more aware about the interconnectedness we have with each other and the rest of the natural world, not just here on the earth, but the larger system we're part of, and to live our lives in sustainable ways, not only sustaining human life, but sustaining the greater web of life of which we're all part.
Very true. So I have two things. I have another question from the chat room. I wasn't sure if you wanted to try to tackle this one, but I wanted you to kind of plug PSG for those people who are new and don't know what PSG is and might want to come join a pagan village for a week and come see you in person.
That would be great. Yes, Pagan Spirit Gathering, June 17th through 24th, Stonehouse Park, rural Illinois, but only about an hour from Chicago. It's near Earlville. It is a campground and reenactment venue, and it became the Pagan Spirit Gathering home last year. We're returning there this year. Pagan Spirit Gathering is one of my children. Didn't have human children in this life, but I birthed a variety of festivals, and it's probably Pagan Spirit Gathering is the one that I'm most known for. But it's grown in such a way that there's actually, I guess I've kind of graduated to grandmother of the festival. Moonfeather is our manager of the festival, and we have a staff of 75 pagans of different traditions in different places all working together to coordinate the Pagan Spirit Gathering Village experience. We intentionally create community for a week during summer solstice time. It's part conference. We have hundreds of workshops and rituals and discussions. We have concerts. We have a youth program. We have priest and priestess training programs. We have scholars presenting pagan studies works. We have the magical marketplace with vendors and craftspeople from all over the country and other places sharing their wares and having them available on display and for sale. We have dancing and drumming. We have celebration of culture and community. So yes, it's a pagan festival. We're celebrating summer solstice, but it takes it to that next level of creating an actual village, which gives those practitioners who go and take part a sense of what it might be like to live year-round in a totally pagan environment. So for 1 week every year, those of us who've been part of the pagan spirit gathering scene over the years, we create community, but yet that community continues even when we aren't gathered face-to-face. Every year, I do some workshops and ceremonies, and I do plan on doing some circle craft teaching as well as a ceremony this year. And those of you who are taking part in this, I invite you to consider coming to PSG, or if you can't physically come, then tune in for our celebrations.
And to find out more information about that, you can go to www.circlesanctuary.org/PSG/institute.
Oh, and just a sort of a way to connect with PSG, I'll do a quick little plug here for our Pagan Warrior Radio again. We're actually talking about doing a summer solstice ritual on the Saturday broadcast of Pagan Warrior Radio on the same evening that they'll be performing their main summer solstice ritual at PSG this year. So for those who can't make it to PSG, if you're available to join us on Pagan Warrior Radio that Saturday night, there'll be information coming up that's in June. We'll have a summer solstice ritual, and we'll do some energetic connecting with the folks at PSG and the community there.
Okay, maybe we'll do something out in our backyard or something.
It sounds wonderful.
Since time is running short, there was someone who asked a question about the shamanism-related aspects of the Circle Craft tradition. This is several minutes ago, and it kind of scrolled away. He wanted to know what the differences were or what type of shamanism it is that you refer to or maybe practice on. Is it Siberian or Native American-based or perhaps Celtic or something else? And he wants to know, wants to know what good resources there are for learning more about that.
Okay. Well, one of the resources is actually tuning into this show, because I'm going to share things here that have been part of that practice. When I use the shamanism word in this show, I'm using it in a more universalist sense. It certainly began as a term specifically looking at particular tribal ways rooted in Siberia. But it has expanded, especially over the last several decades, to be a term that is cross-cultural. And there are some forms of shamanism now, rather than rooted in a particular ethnicity, are taking core principles of diverse shamanic systems and practices, distilling them down and having it accessible for people, not necessarily in a religious sense, but in a technique of the sacred sense. In the Circle Craft tradition, though, shamanism is very much intertwined with the sacred and spirituality. So in using the shamanic word in reference to Circle Craft, it's looking at some of those core principles, but also having pagan philosophy and customs as an underpinning. I think it's important to be respectful of different traditions that are rooted in particular cultures. I happen to be part Native American as well as part European American, and I have found that the shamanic dimensions of my practices seem to have emerged the deeper I connected with those traditions. I give respect to those who are practicing particular ethnically rooted shamanic systems. I'm real clear when I'm facilitating a shamanic experience that it is multicultural rather than specifically from a particular tradition, if indeed that is the case. certainly there's been increasing works about Celtic shamanism that are coming out, and I have a lot of resonance with that. But I also find that my own Cherokee heritage, the more I have studied about that, the more I have found that some of those traditions have emerged in my own practice even before I knew that there was a correlate with that ancestral way. So that's a real good question. And I do think that if one is exploring the internet for some articles about shamanism, it's important to keep a critical eye, be able to look at the diversity of information out there, but just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true or a good thing to do. A lot of diversity there. Well, any last questions before we do our closing?
There are tons of questions. I think there's too many to get to, and I was encouraging people to either post their questions to the chat room so I can copy them and email them to you, or email them to us at pagans tonight@gmail.com with the subject title Circle Craft Study or Selena Fox.
Well, and I invite those of you who have been part of this very first show, thank you for tuning in. And if you have questions, yes, you can put them in the chat room right now, because I asked Tracy to save the chat room conversations for me to look at later. And next week, I also plan to have part of the show be group discussion and questions and answers. I'd like to just talk briefly what's coming up next week, Tuesday, March 13th, Sacred Circle, Sacred Sphere. I'm going to explain that invocation that I did at the very beginning, the nine directions, and some ways of casting the circle within the circle craft tradition. Then on Tuesday, March 20th, Spring Equinox, of course, we'll have a Spring Equinox show in class. We're going to look at rituals and meditations that you can do yourself, with your household, in your community, some symbols, some chants, some customs, ways to bring in the spring. And then the last of our series this month is Pantheon Journeys. We're going to look at the divine as one and as many, and ways to develop relationships with different forms of the divine. Well, as I see that we're moving up to the end of our show, let us join together for a few moments and let us give thanks. Let us give thanks to each other. Let us give thanks to the north and the earth, the east and the air, the south and the fire, the west and the water, that which is above in the cosmos, that which is below and the planet, that which is center and spirit that connects us all together, that which is within the soul, that which is around community. For we've created community tonight, and may we continue to be in good relation with each other, with the sacred circle, the sacred sphere, the divine as one as many, and have good memories of our time together here. Blessed be. Have a wonderful evening. And thanks again for being part of this first show. You can email me, selena@circlesanctuary.org.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.